This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We'll get to the latest on the Deshaun Watson trade rumors, but with the NBA tipping off this week and with Week 7 kicking off tonight, we got to get to a little segment that we like to call Book It. Shannon, hit it.
All right, guys, Book It. You know the drill. You add Book It to any of your hot take. It's a hot take multiplier. It allows you to feel like Stephen A. Smith, if only for a moment.
You can book it.
Put it in the books.
You know what time it is. It's Book It time, damn it.
I'm still saying no.
And maybe you don't know the drill. And so if you don't, you happen to be new around here and you've never experienced a Thursday with us, this is Book It. Our producer Shannon's going to lob us a spicy take. You like it. You feel good about it. You shout Book It.
You can book it.
You feel like Stephen A. Smith dapping folks up pregame. And if you don't, you won't. We move on here. Shannon, I got that covered.
Yeah, sounds about good. And We got Thursday Night Football. We got several NFL related questions to ask in Book It.
Really?
But first, before we get to that, Cliff, hit the music. He sabotaged that on purpose. You see that, right? Like, we went over this in the break.
I didn't
sabotage
it.
We went over this in the break.
It has a little startup to it. That's why. I didn't sabotage
it. That's why it's not as good a song as the 76ers song.
All right, here we go. Mike, I will start with you and ask you the first question. The Knicks will reach the Eastern Conference Finals. Mike, you going to book that?
Man, hell no.
Damn that.
I'm sorry, Shannon. Like, listen, we don't have to do this. This is the hot take segment. We can live in the now with the New York Knicks. We can enjoy people out in the streets outside of MSG loving up, enjoying this, chanting for the New York Knicks. What we can't do is lie about where this team is capable of going here. And, Chris, that's the one thing I just don't want to do. Like, we're here to do this as a PSA. Last night in the Garden was fun. Let's worry about the regular season and let the rest come after you nab another superstar you can actually win with.
Yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I can't book this. The Knicks ain't going to the Eastern Conference.
Damn that.
They're not going to make it there, man. I mean, the Knicks at best are the fourth best team in the conference. So the fact that they could try to make a run to the Eastern Conference Finals, it just seems absurd. As fun as they are to watch, as hard as they play, as tough and as gritty as they seem on the court, I just don't see them putting together that kind of run. So I'm sorry, Shannon. It's just not going to happen for you. The ceiling on this Knicks team is winning a first-round playoff series, and that's about it.
All right. Well, the Knicks, at least I can say the Knicks are drama-free right now, which can't be said for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Ooh.
Like that, huh? All right. Oh, look at this.
Oh.
Look at this. Cliff is in his bag today. You see this?
I see it.
Sabotage. Chris, all right, I will ask you. Good John, bad John. Ben Simmons will never suit up again for the 76ers. You going to book that?
Yeah, I'm going to book it. That's a good John right there. That's a good John. There's no way that Daryl Morey and Doc Rivers can let Ben Simmons play for them again. First of all, the players don't want him on the team. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is you can't devalue an asset that you're intent, that you're hell-bent on making sure that you get fair value for. The last thing you want is for Ben Simmons to go out there and turn an ankle and to make an already difficult situation that much worse. You don't need to have this guy lingering around the team for the rest of the season. And the worst thing that you can do is compound this situation with an injury. So no shot that Ben Simmons ever puts on a Sixers jersey again.
Yeah, I am going to go ahead and book this one. This should be easy. And I'll tell you what needs to happen now, because we're going to keep doing a series of these suspended for one day things or Ben Simmons has back tightness things. Daryl Morey and company over at the 76ers need to slide on over to Adam Silver and be like, Adam, listen, you know what's happening. I know what's happening. We all know what's happening. What way can we just blanket make this go away? What can we do to just put this man on a shelf on the side here and say, hey, we're not going to move him. He doesn't want to play here. We don't want him to play for us anymore. We all know how this ends, but we need a drama-free way to go about this dance here. You know we can keep suspending him. We know he's going to keep finding reasons to not come in and suit up and take his medicine in front of that Philly crowd on Friday. So let's just find a way to come to this peacefully and put him on a shelf together until we can get him out of here, which, according to Daryl Morey, could be in 4 years. Strap in, Philadelphia. Welcome to hell. We are Candy and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Candy, we're playing Book It. Save our friends from Philadelphia and New York from our takes. What do we got here, Shannon?
All right, Mike. Trayvon Diggs should be in the NFL MVP discussion. You're going to book that?
No. That being said,
damn that.
I do appreciate what's going on right now because we're trying to include more players in the conversation here. I would simply say that if you're going to be Trayvon Diggs and you're going to get involved in this conversation, you need to brand yourself well, like Derrick Henry did. A lot of the folks down in Nashville running with Derrick Henry as an MVP candidate after Monday Night Football. And how did Derrick Henry respond? He showed up to their press conference today wearing a giant shirt with a picture of a dog named Bam on it who is trying to be adopted at a local shelter. It is a reminder for advertisers and prospective MVP candidates. If you use puppies to your advantage, you will always come out on tops. So Trayvon Diggs needs to get himself a puppy if he really wants to be involved in this.
Yeah, you win the crowd, you win your freedom. Another ode to the movie Gladiator, but I'm with you on this one. No chance that Trayvon Diggs is in the MVP conversation. There's no shot. It's not going to happen. Listen, he's going to need a lot more pick sixes in order for that to happen. But listen, the dude's got 7 interceptions through 6 games. Probably the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year. That's going to be the hardware that he has to settle on. He ain't getting his hands on an MVP trophy.
He's not even the best player on his team. Like, that should be the baseline for this at a human level, right, Chris? Like, we can't look and say that he's even better than Dak Prescott at this point.
There you go.
All right, Chris. LaMelo Ball will be an all-star this season. You buying that?
Yeah, you can go ahead and book this one. Yeah, absolutely, man. LaMelo going off in his first game in their win over the Pacers. 31 points, 7 boards, 9 assists. Like, the dude is a walking bucket. And he was 7-for-9 from three-point land last night. So it seems like he fixed that broke jumper that he had back in high school. And the rookie of the year looks like he's on his way to being able to make a bid for the All-NBA squad and potentially being an all-star. So I like LaMelo Ball as an all-star this year. You can book that.
I'll book this.
Damn it, I ain't playing.
Only so we can have the conversation. Is showing up with a suit and a Lamborghini the color of a tennis ball actually cool? Like, Chris, I am all for extravagant shows of wealth. Get it how you live, the wise man once said here. Is that worth whatever money he spent on that wrap here? Like, can you go back and change that after the fact? Can he retrofit this to have a color for every tux? I'm not rich enough to know, Chris, so I'm going to rely on you for how to dress a luxury vehicle here.
Well, this is all about the brand management for the Big Baller brand. So I guess this falls in line with what him and LeVar envision on how he's going to market himself down in Charlotte. But I feel like he's taking a page out of Cam Newton's book, wearing these wild outfits, showing up to games, and then, of course, being able to rock the same thing at the post-game press conference. So shout out to LaMelo Ball for having the confidence to try to pull a look like that off.
I'm just amazed you have teal right there, and you go for tennis ball green. You've got objectively one of the best colors on earth. Shout out to Coastal. I know they lost last night, but teal helmets, those went harder than hell. And you do that to the Lamborghini? No, sir. No. What do we got, Shannon?
All right, last.
No, sir. No.
Last and certainly not least, Mike, this one's for you. The Cincinnati Bengals will upset the Baltimore Ravens. You going to book that?
No.
No, sir. No.
Damn that. 6.5-point favorites. Lamar Jackson plays for those guys here. And based on where we have been going here, Chris, I know you're not going to pick against the Ravens, but I'll be damned if I bet against Lamar Jackson at this point in time here. I appreciate what Cincinnati's done here. I think Trey Hendrickson and that defense have been really stout in certain instances this year. We know they gave Aaron Rodgers holy hell, but to quote the Wedding Singer, Aaron Rodgers can no longer move and shake like this the way Lamar Jackson has so far this season.
Yeah, Gojo got good sense. He knows he can't book that. There's no shot that the Cincinnati Bengals upset the Baltimore Ravens. Like, I understand how they do business down there, and John Harbaugh is preaching to them. This is a division opponent, and they're the ones that are closest to the Ravens and challenging them for the division lead. There's no way they're going to be overlooking the upstart Bengals with Joe Burrow. This could get ugly for Cincinnati. I hope they know what they're walking into.
Whew. Indeed. Indeed. The AFC North never fails to deliver on interdivision hate. Reminder, though, you can check out the rest of what's coming up after us. We take you up 7:30 Eastern here on ESPN Radio to coverage of Major League Baseball. The Road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Tune in tonight NLCS Game 5, the Dodgers trying to stave off elimination against the Braves. Coverage again starts right after us, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Coming up next, we have heard the reports in the last day about the Houston Texans, Deshaun Watson, and the potential for him to be moved before the NFL's trade deadline. The Miami Dolphins have been the team linked to the Texans for a while. What does this say about the future for Tua Tagovailoa in the NFL? We'll explore that next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
From the biggest names in sports.
Justin Herbert, ladies and gentlemen.
To the stories that matter.
The New England Patriots want to play that way. They want to protect the young
and plenty of opinions.
It's simple. Justin Fields is better, but I'm willing to.
And it starts every morning with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max right here on ESPN Radio. Or just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. This is ESPN Radio.
Benny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. And Mike, we saw the report yesterday that the Texans and the Miami Dolphins are trying to work out a deal to trade Deshaun Watson to Miami. And a lot of conversation around that has kind of spurred people to try to figure out exactly what the timeline on that is. Both teams are believed to want to get the deal done before November 2nd. Earlier in the show, we had Lance Zierlein, co-host of The Bench on 97.5 in Houston, on our show. And he had some interesting comments about how likely a Deshaun Watson deal is to get done.
I think it's very, very likely. And I think it's very probable. From what I understand, in talking to people on a variety of sides of this, I believe that compensation has, if it hasn't been agreed upon, it's very, very close. I also think that this is, to Chris's point, I think you made a very good point, the sunk cost of this entire thing. I've heard people say, why make the deal this year? You're not even good. That's irrelevant. What has to happen is Deshaun Watson at some point needs to be on a team, and frankly, he's going to have to serve the suspension. Once he is on a team, I think you're going to see the league come out with some type of suspension for Deshaun Watson.
Now, financially, because there's a lot to consider when this decision gets made, Chris, a team acquiring Deshaun Watson today would have to pay about $7 million in 2021 cap space. If they acquire him after the trade deadline, that number would be about $5.86 million. All of that is before the extension that he just signed with the Houston Texans kicks in and the money starts getting big here. And so what it sounds like is, this would be a bet on whatever team involved, let's say it's the Miami Dolphins, that you would be able to absorb, one, the financial hit at the beginning of this, saying, all right, it's comparatively lesser than what anything you close to pay for market value of this guy. You'd be able to absorb the hit of him not being on the field for you, the suspension and all this, and that you'd be willing to absorb the massive negative PR hit, because that's the other part of this, Chris. I mean, with 22 impending lawsuits right now, and we don't know where anything stands with those as it pertains to the court proceedings, other than the fact that Deshaun Watson can't be deposed in court until February of 2022, you're a team getting ready to potentially take on all of that. That is a risk assessment that I am not envious of in any way, because I wouldn't touch it, but I also understand that that's not how this league works, that those concerns off the field pale in comparison to what they believe they can get in this quarterback.
Well, here's the thing, Mike. You're not envious of the situation unless you're a franchise that's starved for a quarterback, right? And I think that's where the Miami Dolphins are. And at this point, looking at how their season has started, they're starting to make long-term assessments about what are going to be building block pieces and trying to figure out whether or not they have the guy under center that they actually want to move forward with. And I think the answer is no, because that's why this conversation around trading for Deshaun Watson has started to tick up a notch ahead of the trade deadline in a couple of weeks. So I think this is the Miami Dolphins acknowledging that this season is essentially a sunk cost and that they've got to try to find a way to upgrade at the quarterback position in order to put this franchise on solid footing moving forward to eventually get to the point where they can be consistently competitive. Now, as far as the financial ramifications of all of this, I mean, the amount of salary that you would be on the hook for with Deshaun Watson this season is just the cost of the first right of refusal for any team that would be trading for him. Because what you're trying to avoid is more teams getting involved in the bidding process once the legal proceedings have run their course. And so I think that's why the Miami Dolphins are taking this opportunity to be more aggressive about it, because you don't have a lot of teams – that are going to be comfortable with the uncertainty surrounding the pending legal cases. So, Brian Flores, Chris Greer, I'm with them. I mean, in terms of having opportunities to add a quarterback of Deshaun Watson's ilk, a player that at his best is top five at that position under the age of 26, like, yeah, you have to take that opportunity. You have to take advantage of that chance. And it comes along with some risk, but so does staying the course with Tua, not knowing whether or not he's ever going to fully realize his potential.
Yeah, and Chris, I think the one other thing that stuck out when we talked to LZ earlier was the price for all this. Because in addition to that contract you're taking on, this was something we talked about. You know, originally it was three first-rounders that were floated as the price tag for Deshaun Watson and a quarterback of his caliber. And LZ made it sound like a price tag near that could still be in play, which has to indicate the other part of this, that I feel like the parties involved have to know something that we don't. Because if you're a franchise like the Dolphins, that is a massive risk to take if you are not willing to know or have been assured of some things in here. Because we asked about the notion of, you know, having stuff in place, contingency plans, fail safes in the deal for Miami. And if that's not a part of it and they were to walk into this deal, I'd imagine they've got to know something that the rest of us don't in this situation for all the reasons that we just underscored. Because, again, you're sending a message to your fan base. If you go out and you bring Deshaun Watson in, we know he is innocent and proven until proven guilty under the law. But we also know what these allegations look like. We also know that the NFL has claimed to try and be appealing towards a more broad and diverse fan base that includes women, and that this is going to be an extremely triggering event if you bring him into your team for a lot of people that have dealt with the kind of things personally that Deshaun Watson's been accused from. And so, if you are in the front office of this team, you better be damn sure. And I think the unfortunate part of this is, Chris, the thing they're sure of is they can weather the storm early. And that people care about football so much that if they just keep their heads down, eventually people will come back, because that's what's happened time and time again.
No question about it. And this is going to be a highly scrutinized move, and it does come along with a huge amount of risk. But I think you're right in suggesting that the Miami Dolphins, Stephen Ross and Chris Greer, are going to do their due diligence in terms of, you know, talking to Deshaun Watson in his camp and seeing how close he could be to potentially settling those 22 civil suits that are outstanding. And then we'll have to see what the criminal proceedings, if there are any, in fact, end up happening, the results of that. But, I mean, this is a situation where you have a chance to get your hands on a transcendent talent at the quarterback position. And if you don't have that, especially in that division where you got Josh Allen there and you got Mac Jones and you got Zach Wilson, three franchises that have seemingly found their franchise quarterback, it just makes sense to be aggressive and to make a play to potentially have arguably the best quarterback in the AFC East, and that would be Deshaun Watson. So I understand the move. I understand the downside to it, but there's a huge amount of upside to it. And to look at this situation objectively, I just feel like the opportunity cost for the Dolphins might be too great to pass on.
Plenty more on that as news will continue to unfold about Deshaun Watson and what might potentially happen for the NFL's trade deadline between the Texans, the Dolphins, or any other team interested in taking on the quarterback. Coming up next, we'll switch gears, look ahead to Thursday Night Football, and check in on the quarterback situation for the Browns and Case Keenum now under center. We'll do that after this word from Wendy's. Rise, shine, and dine with breakfast at Wendy's and get a sausage or bacon, egg, and Swiss croissant for just $1.99. Fresh cracked eggs, a buttery, flaky croissant, and your choice of bacon or sausage, all for just $1.99. So head to Wendy's in the AM for a breakfast worth waking up for. And with a deal this delicious, the biggest question you're going to have to face today, sausage or bacon? There's no wrong decision there, guys. Go ahead and win. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. Back after this, Candy and Golic Jr.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline, and we're getting ready for Thursday Night Football between the Denver Broncos and the Cleveland Browns, and we're going to go out to the Goodyear Hotline to bring on Cleveland legend, 10-year NFL vet, three-time Pro Bowler, Josh. Take it to the cribs. Josh, what up?
Baby, how you doing?
We good, man. We got to get straight to it, man. What does Case Keenum have to do tonight to secure the win against the Denver Broncos?
Oh, man. We're banged up. Everybody knows we're banged up. We're missing a two-headed monster. We're missing linemen. We're missing defensive personnel. But this is where Coach Stefanski, Coach of the Year last year in 2020, this is where a team in Andrew Berry, the youngest general manager, this is where everything pays off, to where you see the backups are just as good as the starters, where you see a running back in D'Ernest Johnson, who showed up last year when he got the opportunity against Dallas Cowboys. A lot of guys don't remember that game. He showed up and showed out against the Dallas Cowboys, and we'll need that tonight so he can take the edge off, and play action will still work for Case Keenum as Case Keenum throws the ball down to a healthy Jarvis Landry and an OBJ. They can still get it done with the team they have and the coaches they have.
Josh, what have you made of Odell Beckham Jr.'s struggles to kind of get reintegrated into this offense? We know so much of last year was about injury here. What have you seen so far? Do you think there's still hope that he can be a major part of this going forward?
So it's funny you said that. He is a major part of this offense because defenses still fear him. Whenever he's out there, just think of this. If you're the coordinator, you would be crazy not to bracket him with somebody over the top, not to be extra careful to say, don't let him win the game. Don't let the chunk plays happen with OBJ. So when he's healthy, when he's out on the field, he is in this offense. But when have the Browns ever had this much talent? When have they had this many guys that you have to worry about? And yes, they're all banged up, but he's significant when he's on the field. So when we say him adding him in the offense, I mean, what does that look like? You know, does that look like 7 targets? Does that look like, you know, 6 targets? I think as he gets the football, as he continues to be a threat, meaning level of difficulty, how bad defenses have to prepare for him, his significance and his ability to make his mark will continue to shine as he gets the football with consistency.
Talking to 3-time Pro Bowler Josh Cribbs. Josh, the defense for the Cleveland Browns has been struggling the last couple of weeks, giving up a combined 84 points to the last 2 opponents. I know a lot of that has to do with playing the Chargers offense and the Cardinals offense, but what have been some of the issues that you've seen on that side of the ball for Cleveland?
Well, consistency. You know, and I keep having to throw that out there because, you know, the Cleveland Browns, they came out playing. You see Denzel Ward, he played one of the greatest receivers in the game, and DeAndre Hopkins, and he answered the call. And that came with a lot of DPIs that, like you said, the Chargers, like you said, other people that they played, you know, that if you look at them thus far this year, they've been pretty good. But I listened to the press conference and Coach Stefanski. He said, hey, we're 3-3. We're an average football team. You saw how they played against the Houston Texans, and people thought, hey, if Tyrod Taylor would have still been out there, we never know. And then they showed up and handled business against Chicago and other teams when they needed to. It's consistency right now, and it's staying healthy for that defense because they're full of talent, but they just can't stay healthy. And that's been the problem that plagued this defense.
Ken Angola Jr. talking to Josh Cribbs in the Goodyear Hotline. And we know health has been an issue on that defense. But now for your quarterback, Baker Mayfield out missing time for the first time since 2018 when he took over for the Browns. Josh, do you think this ultimately, one way or another, has an effect on the Baker Mayfield contract that a lot of people believe could be coming after the season?
Definitely. And he knows that. But this is a long season. Remember, it's 17 weeks in the regular season now. So it's a long season as well. They're 3-3. You know, I never had them, you know, in the top. They still can salvage this season. Baker has a lot more football left. And I keep forgetting that because I didn't think he was going to, you know, forego this game. I thought he was going to play in this game up until that announcement. Even when he said himself, I want to play, it's my decision. But it's 17 games. And I think it is weighing on him. Baker's human. So it's weighing on him, understanding that I have to play a certain way to get this contract. But in this Browns offense, him staying in the scope of the offense that Stefanski has created will be to his justice. If he can stay in the scope and understand that last week against Arizona Cardinals, he was playing against his backup. his college backup, who is also a first-round draft pick, who is also a Heisman like him, who runs around. And what did Baker do? He tried to rise to the challenge and get outside the scope of what Kevin Stefanski wanted him to do. Baker's a fighter. He's going to fight. But he realizes he's in a contract year, and I guarantee you he's going to start playing like it.
Awesome stuff, guys. Josh Cribbs, a name everyone knows around Cleveland, getting you ready for Thursday night football as the Browns are going to take on the Broncos. Josh, we appreciate you giving us some time and your incredible office adorned with all that Browns gear. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again soon, all right?
Well, I appreciate it, man. Go dog, baby.
Getting ready for the dog pound tonight here is Josh Cribbs here. Now, what an incredible freeze frame to end that. And for anyone watching on ESPN Plus right now, Josh Cribbs going out in style. Coming up next, though, all the good feelings there that Josh is trying to get going for the Browns. We're going to need some of that energy for our friends here because we have to talk about seatbelts and rotting fish next on ESPN Radio.
I don't think there's any way Philadelphia fans are going to let it work considering what happened this offseason.
I forgot the golden rule in this league that the player always wins.
He gets suspended one game. That's the opener, and it's in New Orleans. The home opener is on Friday.
Kenny Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. And Mike, we got to talk about a topic that's near and dear to my heart, but it's also been a source of my frustration, and that's every time that Giants head coach Joe Judge decides that he wants to open his mouth. Today he makes the headline saying that the fish stinks from the head down, essentially blaming himself for the 1-5 start that the team has had and being embarrassed in a blowout loss to the Rams on Sunday. And I got to ask you this question. Does that do it for you with Joe Judge accepting the blame? Is that really what the cause of the Giants' frustrations and their failures this far this season have been?
Well, I mean, yeah, I appreciate him taking his portion of the blame. Like, does it change anything? No, not necessarily. Like, Joe Judge never seemed like the guy that was running from his responsibility in all this, Chris. I just feel like at this point the results sort of speak for themselves. Like, this is a results-based business, you know. The standard is the standard. However, like, cliche you want to throw at this thing here, you could say all that all you want, and I can appreciate it, but your actions got to start matching up with what you've been asking us to do in practice, or else none of that really matters all that much.
Mike, I'm just sitting here looking at the remainder of the schedule, and I'm not sure if the Giants are going to be favored in any of the games that they have left on the calendar. Like, I'm looking at it, and I'm reaching. Maybe down in Miami they could be favored. But I'm just thinking about how far the program has fallen to know that we've got, you know, 2/3 of the season left. You're talking about having 11 games, and yet the Giants probably aren't going to be favored in any of them, all save one. So it's frustrating to know that the Giants have fallen this far. And I'm looking around, and you're saying people point to the injuries. They're pointing to the skill position core. Kenny Golladay missing time. Sterling Shepard missing time. Now Kadarius Toney missing time. Andrew Thomas potentially being out of the lineup. And it feels like they're trying to come up with reasons why the Giants have been struggling and not acknowledging the fact that this team, this organization, is probably in need of a reset, and that starts with the top, with the general manager and the head coach.
Yeah, accountability is like availability. It's the prerequisite for you getting to be around here. Production is ultimately the thing that's going to determine your future in this league, and so far, it just hasn't been there. Now, if you want to feel better about the way things are, if you're a New York Giant fan, maybe it could help to turn to the city of Philadelphia, who is dealing with some issues of their own right now. Ben Simmons, once again, shows up to the 76ers practice facility, complains of back tightness, doesn't stick around for a workout here. He's been suspended for one game already, and they got another game coming up on Friday here. So, what could possibly make this situation better? I know, more talking. Daryl Morey, the Sixers GM, went on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia today and said, folks, it's time to buckle up.
Ben Simmons is a difference maker. I know, you know, right now, you know, there are people who are down on Ben Simmons, and there are good reasons for that, I think, from multiple perspectives, both on the floor and off. But the reality is this guy is a multi-time all-star, so unless the coaches in the league who voted for him have lost their minds and don't know what an all-star is anymore, who's one of the most impactful defensive players in the league. This is a very good player. And to give ourselves the best chance to win the title, you need difference makers. You don't need role players. right now, any sort of trade, which obviously Ben Simmons wants, the best thing we can do is get role players back. That makes no sense. That will give us no better chance to win the title if we were to move Ben Simmons for role players. So people should buckle in. I mean, this is going to go a long time, because our only path, my only job, is to help us give the best chance to win the title. Ben Simmons is a difference maker, so if we can get him back, he will help us win the title. If we can trade Ben Simmons for a difference maker, we will do it. I think that's best for everyone in this situation.
Ken Engel Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I feel like keeping the term difference maker vague is a purposeful weapon here, Chris, because, listen, this is what happens when you continue to treat players as just numbers on a page. That's what this sounds like.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Daryl Morey has to realize that Ben Simmons ain't coming back. And I'm not sure if he's just saying that to try to, you know, make sure that folks around the NBA know that they're content with being able to keep him on his team. But everybody knows what this situation is. Like, Ben Simmons wants out, and his agent is Rich Paul, and Rich Paul at Clutch Sports essentially run the NBA when it comes to player movement. So to think that you're going to be able to hold Ben Simmons hostage and that he's going to ultimately put a Sixers uniform on and try to mend fences with the guys in that locker room and go out there and take the court and be a part of your championship efforts, you're fooling yourself. Like this is one of those situations where you have to wonder is Daryl Morey playing himself, holding out hope that Ben Simmons is going to have a change of heart. I'm here to tell him that's not going to happen. And what he needs to do now is stop talking and just try to quiet this front as much as he possibly can and go about the business of trying to suss out what trade offers could potentially be available for his team, both now and potentially in the foreseeable future, and try to come to the best deal that he possibly can. Because the reality is Ben Simmons ain't playing for him, so he won't be helping him on the court this year. And if you're not trading Ben Simmons, then you can't get players in return that could potentially help your efforts. So it just feels like Daryl Morey is trying to fight a losing battle, and he has to realize he's in the NBA, and ultimately he's going to lose because players in the NBA get what they want.
I just don't understand the idea of trying to, like, put lipstick on this pig from a public PR standpoint, because we know too much. Like, yeah, we've seen too much at this point. It's too far gone to try and act like this can all be okay. And the idea that, well, if we don't get something in return for Ben Simmons, he's this all-star, he's all these things. Like, that's great advertising for the stuff we already know. Even if he was back on your team, you talk about being a championship or being close to being a championship outfit. You can keep loading up the same pieces to go into battle with, but when you've seen they've got a ceiling, and when you've seen one of the parts in that process, like, this is who Ben Simmons is. We're not going to get a markedly different Ben Simmons, I think, at any point, because if we were, we would have already broached that. Like, this would have already, you know, and you know what? Maybe I shouldn't say that. Maybe we could, but not in this environment. Like, it's also proven, whether it's the city of Philadelphia, whether it is just this team and this staff, however you want to do it with the staffs that have gone through there in that organization, it doesn't work with this player in this spot at the level you want it to. And so trying to sell us on that even seems like a fool's errand, Chris, to the point where I just don't see the benefit in speaking publicly about this at all in the way that Daryl Morey did. I don't see the win here.
Yeah, well, I guess he's trying to prop up whatever trade market is out there for Ben Simmons, but you got to realize that all the other NBA teams are seeing the same things that we are, which is that Ben doesn't want to be there. He showed up in that clip that they showed in practice. He's in sweatpants. He's got his phone in his pocket. He's giving half-hearted effort. Like, he doesn't want to be there. And on top of that, now he's telling them that he's got some kind of back issues, which is going to keep him unavailable to be able to play or to practice. So, like, it's obvious what's going on. It's obvious how he's handling it. And so right now, if you're Daryl Morey, the best thing that you can do is try to find the best deal for your team and move on.
I think the best thing for everyone involved would just be a little bit of peace and quiet. Like, try and figure out the best way to shelve this for the time being. What am I kidding? Keep doing all this stuff, man. We need these takes coming over here. Think of the sports talk gas bags, Daryl. Thank you for your service. Coming up next, though, down 3-1 to the Braves. Do the Dodgers have them right where they want them?